Esta primera lectura es quizás un poco avanzada para muchos, pero el propósito de incluirla al principio es para que se vayan familiarizando con la pronunciación, así como la comprensión. Voy a leerla lentamente, pero al mismo tiempo voy a conservar las variaciones que se escucharían si esta lectura se leyera a una velocidad normal. Traduciré algunas palabras o frases que posiblemente son las menos entendibles, mostrando en color amarillo la frase o palabra en inglés a ser traducida, y en color rojo su significado en español. Voy a leer los comentarios de Eddie Van Halen, guitarrista del famoso grupo Van Halen, acerca de sus recientes impresiones sobre la banda y de su propia vida. A lot of people ask me which Van Halen singer was better. You can't compare them. It's like asking which guitarist is better. Nobody is better than anybody. Every player is their own person. Music is not the Olympics. It's not a sport. It's a form of expression. There is no such thing as bad music. There may be music that you personally don't like, but if you don't like it, don't listen to it and shut up. Don't listen to it and complain about it. There's lots of music that I don't care for. But you can say it's bad. That's subjective. When we played the new songs live, people would just stand there. Nobody said anything about him. Why go to all the trouble, spend all of that time in the studio, and spend tons of your own money to record a new album, when people are only going to complain about it, or ignore it, or somebody's gonna download it from the internet for free? There's an element of satisfaction and joy in creating something new, but not when it comes solely at your own expense. And when people are just gonna shut it down, no matter what you do, people only see the end result. When you walk on stage, they don't take into consideration the years of practice, the attitudes and egos of other people that you have to deal with. The songwriting, the recording, the record producer, the crew, designing the stage. All they see is the show. My son joined the band. contrary to people's beliefs. I didn't get rid of anyone to get him in the band. We needed a bass player. And when I asked if he wanted to play bass, he said, "Sure." It's always been my brother and me and whoever else. People have asked me over the years, "Why did you get rid of so and so?" They don't understand that sometimes people don't want to stay, or they don't want to work hard, and you have to replace them. You may not be happy about it, but it's like a factory. Just because a worker leaves, you don't close the whole factory down. The bottom line for me is, I'm just happy to be here. I've had a hip replacement. I've beaten cancer. I had my hand operation. And I stopped drinking. People always ask me if I'm in a program. AA didn't do anything for me. Rehab didn't work. Nothing worked. It's a strange thing. If you don't want to quit, you won't. I can tell you what happened. It just did. I don't need to drink. I don't even think about it anymore. It's like God gave me one big bottle and I drank it all. So now it's gone. I'm done. I'm just happy to be alive and to still be able to play. How India is becoming America. Cómo la India se está convirtiendo en los Estados Unidos. Este es el comentario de una persona originaria de la India que se vino a vivir a los Estados Unidos y describe los cambios que ha visto en su país de origen a través de los años. I grew up in rural India, the son of an Indian father and American mother. I spent many summers in rural Minnesota. I always considered both countries home. In truth, though, the India and America of my youth were very far apart. America's capitalist exuberance, a sharp contrast to India's austere socialism. For much of my life, my two homes were literally, but also culturally, socially, and experientially, on opposite sides of the planet. All that began changing in the early 1990s, when India liberalized its economy. Since then, I've watched India's transformation with exhilaration, but occasionally, and increasingly, with some anxiety. By the time I graduated from high school, 2 years later, Indian cities had filled with shopping malls. In glass-paneled office buildings, in the countryside, huts had given way to concrete homes, and mango plantations were being replaced by gated communities. This Americanization of India is marked by a noticeable surge in the population of American businessmen. In the corridors of five-star hotels, and also a striking use of American idiom and American accents, I found myself turning my head when I heard young Indians call their colleagues dude. Something had changed the very spirit of the country. The India in which I grew up was, in many respects, an isolated place of limited opportunity. Now, it is infused with an energy, an entrepreneurial spirit that I can only describe as distinctly American. In surveys of global opinion, Indians consistently rank as among the most optimistic people in the world. The villages around my home have undeniably grown more prosperous, but they are also more troubled. Abandoned fields and plantations are indications of an agricultural and environmental crisis. I recently spoke with a woman in her mid-50s who lives in a nearby village. She leads a simple life, but she is immeasurably better off than she was a couple of decades ago. She grew up in a hut. Now she lives in a house with a concrete roof, running water, and electricity. Her son owns a cell phone and drives a motorcycle. Her niece is going to college. But not long before we talked, there had been a murder in the area, the latest in a series of violent attacks and killings. The woman was scared to leave her home. This is what all the money has brought to us, she said to me. We were poor, but at least we didn't need to worry about our lives. I think it was better that way. Hers is a lament against rapid development, against the brutality of modernity, that I have heard with increasing frequency. India's Americanization has, in so many ways, been a wonderful thing. It has lifted millions from poverty. More and more, though, I find myself lying awake at night, worrying about what will take the place of that order. The American promise of renewal and reinvention is deeply seductive, but as I have learned since coming back home, it is also profoundly menacing.